My name is Allie. One month ago, my cousin and co-host Adam disappeared under mysterious circumstances. And to find him, I've been solving the mysteries of the monster world. Hey, do you want to hear what it sounds like before I do noise removal? Yeah, this is terrible, isn't it? You're welcome. This is Finding Monster Right, After Dark. The Alley Files. Hi, little monsters. This week we're up in the attic with a bunch of candles and a pentagram on the floor. And that is because I think I might die. Let me explain. So, the last week of August, actually around the time Adam disappeared, I broke a mirror during karaoke night with my roommates. And then like a week later, I woke up at around 3:30 hearing the sound of a dog barking. And I got the impression of, I'm not sure, but for a second, it just vaguely felt like there was a huge black dog in my room with like white teeth and glowing yellow eyes, and it was just there for a second, and then it wasn't. And for some reason, I mean, not for no reason, I thought instantly of Black Shuck, which is supposed to be an omen of death. And after that, I mean, my luck has been terrible all month. I have been meaning to release these episodes weekly, and I think we both know that that hasn't happened at all. I've gotten 2 fortune cookies since then, and they've both come in blank. That's true. I skeeted about it and everything. And I just got this other one from Chinese Food this morning, and it says, "You are not illiterate." That's not a fortune. That's a joke. It's written on paper, so you have to read it. That's not funny. Illiteracy is not a joke, Chinese restaurant. Oh, and to top it all off, I came back from a hike with a weird rash that might be Lyme disease, might not be Lyme disease. Either way, I'm on doxycycline, just as a precaution. It's actually increasing my sunlight sensitivity, so funny enough, guess who's back? Vampire Alley. In any case, we gotta break this bad luck spell. You know, we gotta figure out how I can unbadden my luck. And to do that, we need to learn a little more, I think, about the Black Shuck. Join me, if you will, down a Wikipedia rabbit hole. So the Black Shuck is a ghostly black dog that roams East Anglia, which is the easternmost part of England. It is generally described as a huge black dog that prowls along highways and byways. His footfalls make no sound. He has, in some descriptions, one fiery eye in the middle of his head, like a cyclops. It is said that if you meet him, your death will occur before the end of the year. So you will do well to shut your eyes if you hear him howling. Shut them even if you are uncertain whether it is the dog fiend or the voice of the wind you hear. On August 4th, 1577, in a church of the Holy Trinity in Blythburgh, Suffolk, to a clap of thunder, the Black Shuck burst in through the doors, ran past a huge congregation of people, killing a man and a boy, and caused the church steeple to collapse through the roof. And as the dog left, he left scorch marks on the north door, scorch marks of hellfire that can still be seen at the church to this very day. And on the very same day, a similar encounter happened at St. Mary's Church in Bungay, several miles away. However, it's not all bad. There are also less common tales of the Black Shuck accompanying people on their way home in the role of a protector rather than an omen of misfortune. And the word shuck just means shaggy. Now, there are no scorch marks in my bedroom. I mean, not from the Black Shuck. And also, I don't live in East Anglia. I live in Philly. And also, my thing didn't have a big cyclops eye. Maybe it's not the Black Shuck itself. The Black Shuck is just one of many different black ghostly dogs from English folklore. They usually have glowing red or yellow eyes. They're often connected with the devil, and sometimes they act as an omen of death. They're usually associated with electrical storms, as in the case of the Black Chuck, crossroads, barrows, and places of execution and ancient pathways. And this connection with death is logical. Dogs are scavengers, and so in European folklore, across the continent, you see dogs associated with death, Cerberus being a great example of that. Now, there's about a million giant black ghost dogs from across England. You have Dartmoor, Lancashire, Twyford, Luton, Staffordshire, Hertfordshire, the East Farthing, fucking everywhere. Now, the one in Dartmoor inspired the Hound of the Baskervilles. That's a Sherlock Holmes book. Funny, I feel like I'm very, very close to the end of solving this mystery of where Adam's gone to, and I just now encountered Sherlock Holmes in the wild in one of these episodes. It's kind of funny to me. In York, there's a giant black dog called a Barghest who roams the Snickleways, preying on passerby, and has also been seen near Clifford's Tower to see the monstrous dog as a warning of impending doom. Y'all, I'm not going to take you seriously. You live in the Snickleways. It's a Clifford's Tower, too. The crazy thing is, if you love that dog, it gets bigger. So, you know, look out there. There is also the Church Grim. So, the Church Grim guards a local Christian church and its attached churchyard from those who would profane them, including thieves, vandals, witches, and warlocks. For this purpose, it was the custom to bury a dog alive under the cornerstone of a church as a foundation sacrifice. What the hell? Another tradition states that when a new churchyard was opened, the first man buried there had to guard it against the devil. To save a human soul from such a duty, a black dog was buried in the north part of a churchyard as a substitute. Dude! No! What? Damn, Wikipedia, you scary. Well, there's a lot of others. The Gabriel Hounds, Guy Trash, Harry Jack, Monty Doo, Padfoot, Skryker and Trash, Tikio, the Yeth Hound and Wish Hounds. Outside of England are creatures like the Cunanwyn of Wales or the Cushi of the Scottish Highlands. Both of these are connected to the otherworld realm of the Fair Folk, the Fae. Well, these are all dogs that are local to an area, or sometimes local to an individual churchyard. But black dog folklore also spread with the English diaspora after the colonizing of America. There's a legend of a small black dog in Meriden, Connecticut, since the 19th century. It's said that if you meet the black dog once, it shall be for joy, twice for sorrow, and the third time shall bring death. Central Delaware, we're getting close to Philly now, has the myth of the fence rail dog, said to be a ghost that is as tall as a fence and races cars around Route 12, but is wholly harmless. That's very dog-like. In the South Jersey Pine Barrens, there is a local legend told by Pine Barren residents describing a ghostly black dog that is said to roam the beaches and pine forests in the area roughly from Ambascon Island to Barnegat Bay. The Pine Barrens are pretty close to Philadelphia. Unlike most British or Germanic black dog legends, the black dog of the Pine Barrens is generally considered a harmless or even benevolent spirit. According to folklore, pirates on Absecon Island attacked a ship and killed its crew. Among those killed were a cabin boy and his black dog, and the spirit of this black dog supposedly roams the beaches and pines, searching for his owner. Oh, I think we're learning that the Black Chuck is not so scary. But there's a better way to explain this. So, I said I woke up with a loud sound of a dog barking. Now, I've woken up at odd hours before feeling like I heard a gunshot or an explosion or something. I have a condition called exploding head syndrome. It's not as silly or as extreme as it sounds. It's a real thing where sometimes upon waking or going to sleep, you get auditory hallucinations. It's perfectly harmless, Wikipedia assures me. So, the fact that I heard a dog barking, I probably heard a dog barking that day and just heard it again waking up. As for my bad luck, I believe that magic exists in the minds of those it affects. And the fact that I think that I have bad luck means that I'm going to experience more bad luck. When I was young, I was like a teenager, and I've told this story on the podcast before, but I thought that my own burgeoning feelings of sexuality and gender being different from the heteronormative world, the very like conservative kind of religious Catholic bubble that I was born into and raised in. I thought I was being possessed by an actual demon. I think a part of me knew the whole time that this was really not exactly what was happening. One time I mentioned it to a priest during confession, and I tried to brush it off like, yeah, this is probably just some weird psychological thing, right? And he was like, no, it could be a real demon. Here, say this prayer against St. John, because St. John is the saint that you're supposed to pray to oppose the mortal sin of lust and the archdemon of lust, Asmodeus, who is delineated as such in the Ars Gotica. My dude was dropping the Lesser Key of Solomon on a high school sophomore. Maybe don't send your kids to Catholic school. Just don't do it. In any case, I came up with, I think, now, a pretty cringe sort of persona for myself. I never watched Buffy as a kid, but I should have, really, because I imagined, I styled myself as this, like, superhero for Christ, giving you time to laugh, in the style of John Dee or any of a million crazy mystics throughout history, latter-day prophets. I called myself the Demon's Bane. Yep. Giggle all you want. I am my own edgy teenage OC, and if that's not awesome, I don't know what is. Over time, as I went through my periods of, like, atheism and discovering identity and just living in a more secular world after I escaped the whole Catholic school bubble, what the Demon's Bane was became something different. Because if magic exists in the minds of those it affects, let's say you think your house is being haunted by a demon, and you think that, like, something is possessing, you know, haunted dolls or something, that's pretty common. If I can convince you with, like, a ritual or something, if I show up in a robe or a cape or something, and I dispose of the demon, quote-unquote, even better, if I can prove that, like, no, it's not ghosts, you just need to get your carbon monoxide things checked, then I have killed that demon in their brains. I've killed that ghost in their brains. Magic exists in the minds of those it affects. If you think you're being haunted, and I convince you you're not being haunted, I've destroyed that entity. Ergo, I am the Demon's Bane. And so to that effect, I think a nice little cleansing ritual might help clear away some of this bad luck. Hopefully nothing bad will happen when I light this candle just now. A few days later, I'm out here in the woods. That ritual went actually pretty bad. So I just lit some candles in a little thing around a pentagram and said some words. And this, like, weird little old man appeared. He was about 3 feet tall. He had purple skin. I want to say it's like the color of an eggplant. Pointy ears. And I feel very compelled to say eyes the color of a song for some reason. And he said, "Quist and trick the trees of Grendel. Rear and rut those rough rod-reelers. Oberon awesome over all. Us under united, Yurik. Clearly blinded, learn us lessons. Eat and know and scream and call." And then he stole my wallet. And then anyway, he disappeared, and so what I did was I flew to Cinnabar Island, and I swam up and down the East Coast, and I noticed a squirrel bearing a black walnut that I thought was odd considering the season. And after unearthing it and opening it, I discovered that instead of two cavities, there were six holes populated by seeds in the pattern of a braille cell. After finding 102 matching nuts, I was able to decipher the following message. Apologies, I was in a cryptic mood. It is me, Adam. I have been sending these messages. I am in the Feywild and need your assistance to get out. And the fucked up thing, listeners, is that if he had just said that from the beginning, I would have known what to do. Now, maybe the black dog? We're getting close. If the black dog that I saw was some kind of fey hound, why did it appear to me? Did its owner abduct Adam? Who is that that abducted him, and why? Like, when a siren or a succubus or a rusalka tempts a man and, like, abducts him or steals his soul or eats him or whatever, like, what does she get out of it, you know? Anyway, not knowing what to do, I reached out to some of my old supernatural contacts. Some of them have been mentioned or portrayed on the show before. You remember Karen from last Halloween? That's not his name anymore. He's now going by Hades, which, believe me, suddenly coming out as transmasc and changing your name to that of a god is extremely on brand for someone who I sleep with. I don't know why that is. It's just a fact about me. Anyway, what he told me was, I think all that I have to do is just draw the right sigils here on the Cave of Kelpius, and I'm golden. And you know what? It's been a pretty crazy month. N-A-F-F-L-A-D-N. There we go. You know what? It is cringe, but I'm the motherfucking Demon's Bane. There is no depth of hell or height of heaven where you can hide my co-host from me. In case I don't make it, I've been Allie. You've been wonderful. See you later, little monsters.